Amen. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles this evening to Psalms 103. Psalms 103. Hopefully you had a good week. Hopefully you've been, last week I encouraged you to take a little bit of time each day and write down something you were thankful for pertaining to God's goodness, pertaining to God's mercy, and also the truths that God's been teaching you. And I hope that was a help to you this week, as my interest is to spend time thinking about God. It's to try to show you the importance, what a truly thankful person looks like, and what it means to be thankful. And so that's the goal of this series, that when we get to our prayer and praise service, we will all have something to say, and the idea that we have something to praise the Lord about. Here in Psalms chapter 103, we will see some wonderful truths that God reminds us again about why we praise the Lord. So I don't know about you, but there's many times when you have a certain day, you have certain things you got to do, that sometimes you have the most important thing you need to do today. I don't know about you, what that works or what that looks like in your life. Many times what my most important thing to do is whatever it is that needs to be done that day. It's not always about what the most important thing is, but it's about, okay, I know it's tomorrow. For instance, tomorrow's senior luncheons. Tomorrow's I have a meeting at 10 o'clock. And at that meeting at 10 o'clock, that's at that moment in time, that's the most important, because I don't want to miss that. I don't want to be late. Senior lunch is going to be there. Some responsibilities. So if I've put those things off, that's really important to get done that day, because it's happening that day. Now, are those things more important than reaching people with the gospel? No. Are those things more important than other things? No. There's a priority that we have based off of when things have to be done. And when something gets to a spot that, hey, someone's waiting for this, it has to get done. And I don't know about you, but in my life, that's the way my life works, is there's a to-do list. That to-do list never gets all the way completed and never gets all the way finished. And you just keep on doing and keep on doing and keep on doing. And with that to-do list, you know, what happens is sometimes you got to prioritize the most important thing you do each day. What is that most important thing? And I got to be honest with you, many times that changes around based off of when something has to be done or someone's expecting something, because I'm good at putting things off or putting things wait till that next time or that next moment. And as we think about it, the most important thing I believe you can do each and every day is learn how to praise the Lord. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, it's this or it's that. And I get it. I'm not going to argue with you. I can't tell you that I have a scriptural backing, except for we're told to praise the Lord and we're told to pray without ceasing. We're told to do many things. But if we learn how to praise the Lord, as we've mentioned it over the last few weeks, this gets us in the right perspective. If we learn that, if we remember the goodness of God, it leads us to repentance. When we forget about the goodness of God, you know what that does? We can do whatever we want and it doesn't even bother us. It's when we remember the goodness of God. We remember how good God's been to us and what God has a plan and a purpose for our life. We want to stay right. We don't want to do anything that's going to offend them. We don't want to do anything that's going to harm. So if we would learn to praise the Lord and remind ourselves of the goodness of God, remind ourselves of his truth that's enduring forever and how he's been merciful to us. If we remember those things, it will put us in the right perspective. If we take time to praise the Lord, we can read our Bibles and never get anything out of it. We can pray and just the words hit the ceiling because our hearts aren't right. But if we will take time, and I truly believe that one of the most important things that we can do, if not the most important thing, once again, task-wise for me, the priority comes up. I have to deal with this today. It has to get done. I'm probably not the easiest person to work with because of the fact that I got a long list of things. And when I'm ready to do something, we got to get it done. Got to get it done now. They have to wait for me to get to that spot sometimes. But if we would learn this, that learning to praise the Lord is something that will put us in the right perspective, that it changes the way we look at anything, changes the way we look at everything. It puts us on a different perspective. We look at things, we see things in a completely different light. I need to accomplish this for the glory of God. Everything is good is for the Lord. And the reason why is the perspective changes. We enter into his courts with thanksgiving. We enter into his courts with praise. And I'm praying at the end of the series, which will end on that Tuesday night of prayer and praise service, and we'll also talk about it on the Sunday before Thanksgiving and the Sunday morning hour about Thanksgiving, that we would be realize one of the most important things we can do every single day is take time to praise the Lord. And that's why I think having that praise list that we began last week and we looked at and it said, hey, take time to say something about his goodness. Take time to say something about his how he's been merciful to us. Take time to say something that you've been learning as a truth. If you take time to write those things out, and yes, it's work. Yes, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. And praise does. There's so much we can praise him for. There's so much things he's been good to us for. There's so many ways he showed his mercy. There's so many truths that he desires to teach us. And if we would take the time and take the work, it will help us, once again, as give us the right focus. It puts us in the right frame of mind. You can go through a prayer list and just talk your way through and never really even think about what you're saying because it's your prayer list. You're just going through it mechanically. But if you just take a few moments, a few minutes to get the right perspective of who you're talking to, you see him high, you see him lifted up, you have the right focus, you have the right frame of mind, that as you're confessing your sins, it's important because of the fact I'm talking to the holy God that's forgiven me my sins and I don't want to harm him. I don't want to do things that are going to disappoint him. It changes the confession part. I want to seek, I want to be right with him. The surrendering part, it's not hard to surrender to him. So I'm praying that God will make us a thankful people. I'm thanking and praying that it will make a difference in our life. And that way we can take the things that we can learn about, the encouragement, the correction, the instruction. If we take these things seriously, God can apply it. Or we can be like many times we come to church. We come in, we do our part, we leave. We don't let the things take hold. Are we thankful people? Let it take hold. Let it take the time to consider, am I a thankful person? Now, I know most of us say, of course I'm thankful. When's the last time that you showed that? When's the last time you told someone else about how thankful you were? When's the last time you showed your thankfulness to God by taking time to praise him? So we all like to think we're thankful. Of course, we're grateful. Of course, I don't take things for granted. But how much and how often do we take God for granted? He's not in our thoughts. He's not in our mind, even though he tells us to meditate on his word day and night. And it's because we don't take time to say, he has been good to me. He deserves all praise. He deserves all honor. He deserves all glory. We will all say amen to that, but then we don't do it. And so these are the challenging things. And once again, we come back to one of those most famous psalms. Actually, this psalm that I was studying is one of a psalm that is a favorite of many preachers. And I heard a couple of people that had said that. And it's definitely known for being a psalm of joyful people. Someone that says, this is my favorite psalm. It usually matches up with someone who has the joy of the Lord in their heart. Someone who is a singing, happy, praising Christians. I don't know what G. Campbell Morgan's favorite psalm was, but he said about this psalm that perhaps the most perfect psalm of pure praise to be found in the Bible. Charles Spurgeon also said it is one of those all-comprehending scriptures, which is a Bible in itself. It might alone almost suffice for a hymn book of the church. And so that's what the Psalms many times are known for, being a hymn that was sung. And even this first verse is something they taught me in school. I don't know how well it's, oh, bless the Lord. And it says, look, you can say, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That is a song. That's a scripture song. And it's a wonderful song. And it's just putting, and so what's that word bless mean? It means to kneel. It means to praise. It means the Lord deserves everything I have, everything I can give. And so, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. So here's a couple things I want you to look at, and we're going to focus mostly on verses 1-5, and we're going to hit some more, but these are some important things. Here's a couple things I want you to think about. It takes work. If it's going to be the most important thing in our life, it needs to take work. And the first thing I want you to see, it is personal. You got to make it personal. If it's going to be work, you got to make it personal. It can't be just, hey, God's saying he wants everybody to bless the Lord. No, he wants me to bless it. And look what he says, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And so he's talking about the inner man. It's a heart style work. It's something that he wants the inside of us to say, hey, it's something I want to commune with God about. It's our praise does not come naturally. Once again, it is work to be thankful. It is work to praise the Lord. It's work to keep him on our heart and keep him on our mind. The devil will distract us. The devil will do whatever he can to get your focus off God and get your focus off the things of God. He will do whatever he can to say, hey, you should be looking at this, you should be considering this, you should be allowing this to have your attention, this to have your time. But he says it's an inward thing. Sometimes people try to put on a show and they try to work it out. They try to make praise to be something that is worked up and worked out. That's why you have all these emotional things. And yet sometimes with music, they use certain beats and certain sounds. And it's like, okay, let's get them worked up here so they can work out. No, praise is something that comes out naturally as you put work into it, as you commune with God, as you love God, as you begin to consider, as the psalmist was saying, bless the Lord, oh my soul. He wants what's inside of him to come out. He wants it to be something that's an inward praise. We think about that verse in Isaiah 29:13, which says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. That verse, at least that thought, is written multiple times in the Bible. Is that, and oftentimes it's talking about, hey, how people will say, oh, that was a good message to the preacher, or they'll show with their lives and with their mouths, they'll honor the Lord, and they'll praise the Lord with their mouths, they'll praise the Lord with their voice. But he says, they've taken their heart and it's far away from me. And that's sometimes, I believe, what we see in these different churches and the different worship that goes along with that. David is saying, I want everything in me. He says, I want myself to be right to where this praise is. I want to bless him with my inward parts. It's not an emotional thing that I can work up. He says, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. It was a lip service back then, and that God was unhappy with the nation of Israel. He says, you honor me with your mouth, you honor me with your lips, you draw nigh to me with their mouth, but have removed their heart from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. It's what makes sense to man. They didn't get into the word, and they didn't say, this is why I fear the Lord. It's what the man has taught them. And here's the point. David is saying, I don't want it to be a man-made worship. I don't want it to be a man-made praise. I want it to be something that I've learned myself, and I've spoken with the Lord. I've communed with the Lord. And it's not something that I can just work out myself. It's something that gets so much inside of us, and we love him so much, and there's such a great desire. It just shows. You ever been around somebody who looks like they're in love? I mean, I know sometimes when people get married, they've been married 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They express love in different ways. I understand that. And I know some people don't express it with outward affection out in public and things like that. But you ever been around somebody, you know that they like their husband, or you know they like their wife, and you know, you can tell there's a love that's there and just comes out naturally. It's something there that you just, wow, I wish I had some of that, you know, those type of things. And that's what happens naturally when we learn to praise the Lord. When it becomes personal, when it comes to the fact that I don't have to get up and read my Bible, and I don't have to look for things for this praise list, but instead I enjoy writing down how God's been good to me. I enjoy thinking about the fact that he's been merciful to me. I enjoy the fact that he's taught me this truth. One of the things I would have put down on my list is that what we learned about Moses this past week. God spoke to my heart this week about that Sunday night message specifically. So I was there. I was listening to somebody else preach on Exodus and preaching in Exodus. And it was in chapter 3 and 4, and even went to those other chapters we looked at. It was a whole different topic. But I just thought, man, Moses went through so much for all those years. He dealt with difficult people. He dealt with difficult situations, but he did not let that affect his relationship with God. He spoke with God as a man would speak to his friend. I mean, there is so much there that we can learn and so much that he desires. And that's what David is saying here. It takes work, but it's a personal work. It's not a lip service. He says, I want every part of me to bless the Lord. He says, I want my soul. I don't want it to just be my lips. I don't want it to just be my actions. He says, I want my soul. I want my soul to magnify the Lord. I want my soul to bless the Lord. I want my soul to kneel down. It's not just lip service. It's not just something so everyone else can say, look at that person. He really loves God. It's something that just comes out of him. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. So it is a personal work. Not only is it a personal work, it is a holy work also too. Look what it says. And all that is with me, bless his holy name. Psalms 103 is once again one of those great Thanksgiving psalms. When you give God praise, you are on holy ground. when you take time to set aside and say, God, I just want to spend a few moments, a few minutes just praising you. You're praising his holy name. You enter into holy ground. What happens is you enter into the presence of God. And I know we've brought this up before, so we're not going to harbor on it, but it's important that when you push everything else, you silence all the other voices and your heart affection is turned to God and you start thinking, okay, what is it that is so wonderful and great about God? The Holy Spirit will just give you things in your heart and your life and just things that you will bring back to your memory. We will praise him. It's a holy work. Not only is it a holy work, it's an important work. As I mentioned, it's the most important thing I believe you can do each day because you get into the presence of God. You get the right perspective. You get the right focus. But it's an important work. Look what it says in verses 20 through 22. It says, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. So he says, look, the angels. It's an important work. If the angels follow exactly what the Father wants them to do, his will is done every moment of every day. And you know what the angels are doing? They're praising God. Why would we think that God would have something different for us to do than to not praise him? Our lives should be a praise and an honor to him. The angels did it. And it talks about how the hosts and the ministers, you know, these are the angelic beings. They are taking time to praise the Lord. And then it says it's done everywhere. All his work in all places of his dominion. So I'm not just supposed to praise him at church. I'm supposed to praise him at my house. I'm supposed to praise him when I'm at my work. I'm supposed to praise him when I'm out at the store. And I know that we're not going to all go out there, oh, bless the Lord. You know, we're not going to be doing that all the time and singing songs, you know, making, you know, being looking foolish. But at times we will praise him through our lives and through our mouths and through our actions. So it's an important work. But here's the thing that I think is key for me that I see here is praise reminds me. Not only it is work and it takes time and it's personal and it's holy and it's important, but praise reminds me. When I take time to bless the Lord, when I take time, and that word bless actually literally means to kneel, it means to focus, it means to worship, and we would think of the word praise that goes along with that. But when I take time to do that, God reminds me of certain things. And that's why I think these verses here, it reminds us of some wonderful things. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So when we bless the Lord and we praise the Lord, it helps remind us of some things. The first thing, I don't know about you, but once again, your walk with God may be different than mine. When you spend time praising the Lord, it might just look differently. But anytime I truly get in the presence of God, it humbles me. You might be high, you might be haughty, you might have some different relationship with God, but what it reminds me of, it humbles me. Praise reminds me of what I am apart from God, which is nothing. Praise just brings me to that spot and say, God, it is all about you, and I am just blessed to know you. It humbles me to the point that I'm not going to be arrogant and say, God, you shouldn't tell me to do this. God, I can't believe you did this. And God, I can't believe you're expecting this. I don't know what you're doing, God. I want to tell you a thing or two, God. Now, if we sit there and we understand that praise, it humbles us and it reminds us of different things. I love verse number 3. It reminds me of the fact my iniquities have been forgiven. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Think about that. If you would take that for a second, just for a minute, think about what you would consider the worst thing you ever did. And ask yourself that. Well, I mean, I definitely don't want you telling me that. Maybe it's in your thought life. I can't believe I ever thought that. Maybe you did something to someone else. What's the worst thing that you ever did in your life? Amazing thought is that God forgave that. If you confessed it, he forgave it. Jesus Christ paid for that. Now, if you would sit there and you think about all those different things, and once again, I'm not talking about focusing on the sin and wanting to rehash the beauty of the sin. No, I'm talking about taking the time to understand that you're forgiven and that you're cleansed. We praise him for his good forgiveness. We're glad that we've been forgiven. I don't know how many times in my life I've done something stupid and I've gone up to somebody and said, hey, will you forgive me for this? And how great of a feeling it was when they said, yes, I forgive you. Or how horrible a feeling was, I'm never going to forgive you because what you did really harmed me, what you did really hurt me, and you didn't consider me at all. And sometimes there's two different people that do different things, but the forgiveness that we get from an individual, but God knows everything you have ever done, ever said, ever thought, and he has forgiven us for those things. If you can't find any other reason to praise him, that is one thing that it is just astronomical. But so often we're like, I'm not that bad of a guy. Now that person over there should be happy. No, our sins have been forgiven. Our iniquities have been forgiven. And if we will just take time, and I find it helpful to remember not the sin, but the forgiveness of God. Not to focus on, man, this is how wicked and how bad and how evil it was, but instead, I did this horrible thing and God was willing to forgive me. It humbles me and it helps me to praise him. It helps me to have a thankful heart. Think about all the things he's ever forgiven you for. I mean, I'm not just talking about today, because I'm sure today there's some things that you would need forgiveness for. But I'm talking about those things and those mistakes in the past that you regret. And you, if you had any chance, if you had any chance to go back and take those and do it differently, you definitely would. And the Bible talks about here, even in this passage of scripture, it talks about how verse number 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so hath he removed our transgressions from us. I mean, think about that. I mean, if we have no other reason to praise him, and this what praise does, it reminds me, without God, what would I be? I'd be nothing. I am nothing apart from God. And he has forgiven me. And he has taken those iniquities and he has moved them as far as the east is from the west. Think about all he has forgiven us for. How in the world does this not lead us to repentance? How in the world does this, the goodness of God, not say, God, I don't want to do that anymore. I see what I've done. And God, I want to stop doing those things. I'm so thankful for the forgiveness that you give me. And it's something that we should want to praise him for. It reminds me that my sins have been forgiven. This is the first thing on the list because I believe it's so important, because God's forgiveness reminds me of how much he does for us and also reminds me of what I would be without him. I really enjoy the choir song. You probably hear it sung at least once a year, the preaching of the cross. If it wasn't for the preaching of the cross, I have no idea where I'd be. I have no idea what I'd do. I know the deceitfulness of my own heart. If I did not have the Holy Spirit of God living within me, I struggle enough with certain things. I can only imagine what my life would have been apart from Christ and apart from the forgiveness of God and the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, it's amazing. And that's what he says in the Psalms. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let it become something that's personal. Let it be something that resides in you and say, you know, when the devil comes up and he brings up those things, you know, there's some songs that talk about that. The devil brings up my sin. We bring up Calvary. You know, when the devil comes along and tries to make you feel guilty for some past sin, you can say, it's under the blood. I mean, there are certain things that we can just praise him for. And one of the great things is the first thing on this list. Hey, don't forget these benefits. Don't stop praising him. First and foremost, your sins, your iniquities have been forgiven. The second thing, it says, reminds me of his healing. Look what it says in the second part. It says, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, I know what sometimes when we forget how good God's been to us, we'll turn around and say, well, he hasn't healed all my diseases. There's a couple of different thoughts on this. And I'm not going to say I'm going to be dogmatic about any of them. One of them says it's talking about spiritual healings. Some commentators say spiritual healings. Some people talk about how it's talking about in heaven. You know, remember how Paul had said, hey, take this thorn away from me. If we could look up in heaven today, you know what he wouldn't have? He wouldn't have a thorn. It's not there anymore. So that's future things. But also, I think you can make it evident present today that he is able to heal us from everything that he wants to heal us from. He is a God of healing. Think at all that he has done to sustain us and to heal our bodies from diseases. I mean, how many times have we had a cold? How many of us have COVID and different things like that? And God has healed us. He's brought us up. And I know that we're getting older. And I know sometimes we understand that, hey, maybe you're getting some gray hair, or maybe you're like me, you're losing some of your hair and things like that. But God has been so good. He is able to do all things. I know many of us have aches and pains, but consider all the things he has healed you from. Consider all the times you have been sick and God has healed you from them. And consider all the things he's kept you from. Now, once again, this could be referring to spiritual healing. It could definitely be referring to future healing, what God is able to. But it reminds me of the fact that God is able to heal us and all those things he's healed me from. Some of you know my testimony. I went blind in one of my eyes as a boy, and they had to give me some steroids. And I used that excuse for me being big, because I never really, in high school, I got thin again. But I said, well, when I was in fifth grade, I took steroids and I got really big because of it. It caused my optical nerve to just shrink back to where it was supposed to be. And but you know what? There's people out there who are blind today that never have been healed. I'm thankful for all the things that God is. He is able to heal us from all our diseases. Next thing. Look what it says in verse number five. It says, verse number four, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You think about it. It reminds me how God preserves me. If you think about it, how much would the devil love to destroy your life? We've seen what he done in people's life. We saw what he did in Judas's life, and even the first king Saul, how they even thought they needed to commit suicide. And we see how he has wreaked havoc on so many people's lives, and our hearts are burdened from it. And we see that God has redeemed our life from destruction. We know that God gives us in our life, that he is someone who keeps us and allows us from our lives being destroyed. I really enjoy the book of Job. I don't know it as well as I like to. Someday I'd like to preach through the book of Job, but reminded by that powerful truth, the devil had to go ask permission before he could ever touch Job. And so he redeems us. He has bought us back. Our lives are no longer headed towards destruction. Instead, we're headed to a wonderful place called heaven. Boy, we have so much. He preserves me. Then this next phrase in verse number five, verse number four, it says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. And I think about it, he reminds me of the goodness of God. If I'm looking down this list, and as I'm blessing the Lord, I'm letting it be something spiritual, it reminds me of the goodness of God. And you think about how many good things there are out there in the world. Think of all the blessings God has given you in your lives. And that's what that goodness of the Lord list would look like. Think about all the friends you have, all the family you have. Think about all the wonderful things he allows to bring across your path. All the different things that we have, even here in America, many of the modern technologies, all these different things, but the close personal friendships you have. I watch people as they come in sometime and they enjoy being around one another. They enjoy, you know, hugging one another, enjoy talking to one another. And I think it's a blessing from God. It reminds me of the kindness that God shows me. These are all things we can praise him for. It reminds me of the basic things he provides for me. Now look at verse number five. Who satisfied thy mouth with good things. You think about it. What is he talking about, my mouth? He's talking about food, the most basic things. And so what praise does, it reminds me to be humble. It reminds me my iniquities are forgiven. He reminds me of his healing. It reminds me how he preserves me. It reminds me of the kindness of God. But it reminds me how he provides even the most basic things. Things we take for granted. I ate a couple times today. I could have eaten more if I wanted to. I could have eaten more if I thought I should have. I didn't eat more because I know I shouldn't eat as much. But at the same time, when we think about it, we feel like our food and those things are just basic provisions. And how many times do we just tear right into it? But bless the Lord. That's why many times that when we think about Thanksgiving, we should talk about that. It's not just one day a year. It's all these days. And that's why we take time to thank the Lord before our food. And we praise the Lord for that. And he satisfies us. There is no other way that someone's going to be satisfied without truly God. And when we sit down before our food, we should really take time to praise the Lord. It should not be something that we just repeat the exact same thing every time. It should come from the heart. Unless, you know, what that is coming from the heart, then it's great. But don't just do it with your lips. Be truly thankful for what's there. I know it might not be exactly what you want it to be, but it's exactly what you have. Be satisfied, and God can make you satisfied with that. He can make something that doesn't cost hardly anything, tastes just as good as something that costs a lot. Why is that? Because he's God. He will satisfy you. Let's keep on going. We're going to probably go through these a little bit more quicker, but they're just as important. Verse number six, he reminds me that he always does what is right. Look what it says. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. You know, he will always do what's right. And so that when I praise him, when I take time, it reminds me that, okay, God knows what he's doing. Verses 8 through 17, I'm just going to read through, but they are so rich with things that it's just, if you take time to read through these, and that's what I want to encourage you to focus on is verses 8 through 17 this week, and just think about the mercy of God and the things he's done for us and how our iniquities have been forgiven and what he's done with us. But look what it says. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Think about what those words mean, how that affects your life, how he's been merciful to you. How has he been gracious to you? Slow to anger. I don't know about you, but I would have got rid of me a long time ago. Physically, the Lord's patient. He's slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. And look how he deals with man. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. But look how he responds about how he dealt with our sin. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. I know there's the law of sowing and reaping. And if our hearts are not getting right, and sometimes we are dealing with the sins of our youth or sins that we have not changed. But if we got what we deserve, we would be in hell. We don't get what we deserve. And we're thankful for that. He is merciful to us. He holds things back. He doesn't deal with us according to our sins. Instead, he deals with us according to how we work with him. He says, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. I don't know about you, but I know there's many times that things would be different if God did exactly what he should have done when it comes to sin and iniquities. He's given us, many of us, loving families. We don't deserve them the way we treat them sometimes. He's given us a wonderful church family. He's given us wonderful. So it's not because we deserve it. It's because he's gracious and merciful to us. And if we would learn to realize that and praise him for that, you know what? We're going to be a lot less covetous. We're going to be a lot less, man, I think God should be doing this for me. No, look at all the things he's done for us. Let's keep on going. Verse number 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. So he's saying his ways are higher than our ways. And look who he shows his mercy towards. Those that fear him. I truly believe praise is something that helps us to fear the Lord. If we will understand God, if we will see his characteristics, if we'll see his attributes, if we will take the time. Once again, it takes work. It takes time. If it was easy, everyone would do it. This modern day worship, hey, I can sing a couple songs and honor him with my lips and just leave. Oh boy, we had a great time of worship. They didn't worship if their heart's not in it. It takes time and work and effort. It's a personal thing. It is something that is holy. And he says here, it is them that fear him. And look what it says, verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Man, it's wow. We have no reason to complain if that's what he's done with those sins. And he said, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. I want that. I see how some fathers treat their children. It's not good. I see how many fathers treat their children. And they do well. They have a soft spot for them. Of course, they want to train them right. They want to teach them right. But God, who is perfect, is willing to treat us with the mercy that desire we have what's best for our children. You know how many times I would have liked to have done more for Christian or Andrew in different ways. How there have been many more times I would have liked to be able to do more, explain more, you know, show them even greater amounts of love. And when it talks about giving things and in other ways, times. But here it says, like as a father, and if you're a good parent, you know how much of a soft spot and how much you want to honor your children. You want what's best for your children. You want to give them everything they can have in order to succeed in this world. And that's what he's saying. If you will fear the Lord, God in his perfect way will treat you as if you're his only child. He said, how can he do that? He's God. He has all these children. But those that fear him, he will pity them. And that's something I want. And then he reminds us, for he knoweth our frame, and he remembereth that we are dust. I think we need to be reminded of that sometimes. We're nothing but dust. Nothing but, you know, he knoweth our frames, and as people get older, they understand that. Sometimes people look at you and say, hey, you got some gray hair. He says, you got some gray hair. What's that gray hair reminding you of? We're not here forever. Hey, you got a little bit less hair. What's that reminding you of? We're not going to be here forever. You got some more aches and you got some more pains. And you got some more aches and pains. And you can talk about it all day. What's it remind? We're not going to be here forever. But we can praise him because of the fact that we have a God that will always love us. Go down to verse number 17. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. We may not be here forever, but there is something that's going to last forever. It's the mercy of God. It's that mercy that talks about that sin that you did 20 years ago that you let haunt you about it. God says, what sin? He's put it away. He's forgiven you for it. And then he continues on in verse 15. He says, for as man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it and is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. Our lives will not last forever. Now, here's the thing that I think is kind of interesting. Who's David talking to? He's talking to himself. Oh, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. He's talking to under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. I get that. But he's preaching to himself. He says, is that okay? Well, people pick on people for talking to themselves. And don't get me wrong, I know we talk to ourselves sometimes. And I know as I get older, I'm talking to myself saying, okay, now what was I doing? What was I thinking? Why did I do that? Or where was, you know, I haven't got to the point where was I going? I know all those things, but I'm trying to remember back. But I don't think there's anything wrong with talking to yourself if you're encouraging yourself in the work of the Lord. David here is preaching. I think it's great if we preach to ourselves. I think it's great when we get miserable and, no, I have so much to praise the Lord for. Now, why is your heart downtrodden? Why are you, no, preach. But when most people talk to themselves, what are they doing? Besides the fact, I forgot this, trying to remember. Most people, when they talk to themselves, they're grumbling, they're murmuring, and they're talking about how bad things are. Man, I can't believe, and they murmur and they complain. But if we would learn to instead exhort ourselves to bless the Lord, if we would learn to talk about the goodness of God, when things go right, praise the Lord. When something good happens, Lord, thank you for letting that happen. And we recognize and we see and we begin to encourage ourselves. You know, we see somebody else committing a certain sin that we used to struggle with. We say, Lord, thank you so much for giving me victory over that. Or maybe if you say no to a certain sin, Lord, thank you for giving me the power to overcome that sin with your help. If we would talk to ourselves, oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul and all that is within me. I tell you, if we would learn to preach to ourselves, I think we should preach the gospel to ourselves all the time. I know that you're saved, but you're a lost sinner and Jesus Christ died for you. And I mean, and he rose again. You walk past Calvary, you walk past that grave and you preach to yourself. You know what that's going to do? You're going to praise the Lord. God loves me. I can face this world. God's got a plan. He's got a purpose for my life. Instead, we turn around. It's like, man, yeah, things are really bad. And once again, things may be bad. And I'm not talking about we go put our head in the sand and pretend like, no, God's got a plan and a purpose for our life. And his plan and purpose is the most important thing you can do is praise him. Because when you praise him, you humble yourself, you put yourself in the right perspective and the right focus, and you're entering into consciously into the presence of God. And hopefully you don't leave it. All day long, you're talking to him. That's what it means to be praying without ceasing. But it all ties back to being thankful. How can we truly be thankful if we don't really truly understand all the blessings that God's provided for us? And I know we can be thankful for a portion, but if you're only thankful, if you only have this little bit, you're never going to understand what it means to bless the Lord. You're gonna say, oh, thank you, and for a little bit of it, but there's so much more that's going to want to cause you to humble yourself and kneel before Him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. He's saying, I want it to come from every part of me. I don't want it to just be my lips. I don't want it to just be something that I physically show and, you know, lift a hand, or if I, you know, I want it to be a natural thing because of the fact that I've communed with the Lord, that it's something that's inside of me that just has to come out. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that is within me. So let me encourage you with a couple of things as we leave. Take tomorrow and try preaching to yourself throughout the day. Now, I'm not talking about getting your finger out and looking in the mirror and yelling at each other and preaching like you think you should. But instead, throughout the day, remind yourself of the goodness of the Lord. That, why are you downtrodden? Why are you heartbroken? Why is this? Why, you know, talk about the goodness of the Lord. Exhort yourself. And that's what David is doing here. He's saying, bless the Lord, all my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. And then he says, look, I don't want to forget the benefits. I don't want to forget the fact that my sins are forgiven. I don't want to forget the fact that God can heal diseases. I don't want to forget that my life that was headed toward destruction and Satan would want to ruin, Satan would want to run havoc all over me and all over my family, all over my church, but God is not letting him. You know, if you begin just going through these things and you think about it, that loving kindness and the mercies, the food that I have, even though it might not be exactly what I would enjoy the most, I can be satisfied. He can do all those things. And if you preach to yourself throughout the day, tomorrow, I bet you you'll end up praising him. And I bet you throughout the day, you'll have a whole different type of day. But I would like for you to focus on verses 1 through 17. And I know it might be asking too much for you to read it every single day, but I don't think it's that much. It only take you about 5 minutes at the most to do that. But to remind you, and by the time we get to a prayer and praise service, that we're not just praising things based off of what we think. We've communed with the Lord, and it's a natural thing that just comes out. And once again, I'm not putting the emphasis on that service because I want it to be something that each and every day we look at things. So what's the most important thing you have to do? And I said, tomorrow I got some important things because the priorities, somebody's showing up at 10 o'clock for the meeting. The people are showing up at noon for the senior luncheon. And I have a few visits I want to make this week. And I want to try to get more people to come for Veterans Day. Veterans on Veterans Day with the Military Appreciation Service. I mean, there is things. And as you get closer, the priorities of things change. But I really honestly believe in this statement. There's nothing more important you can do today than praise the Lord. It gives you that right perspective. It puts you in the consciously in the presence of God. There's nothing more important than you can do than praise the Lord. And I would encourage you to consider that and put it as a priority in your life. And at least after spending 5-10 minutes praising the Lord, you can say, I at least got one thing off my list. Sometimes on my list, it's different and it's weird. And sometimes the things are long and it takes a long time to do certain things. I don't get anything that I can check off and say, this is completely done, because there's a process for a lot of the things I do. When I'm studying and preaching, I'll spend an hour here or there but the message isn't all the way ready until right before you preach, because you're always processing it through. Most important thing you can do in your life, at least that's what I believe, is praise the Lord. Amen. Let's pray.